Today's shir is Masechta Mitzvah, Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Am L'Shnayim, if somebody said to two people, Gazati Lechem and Mana, I stole from one of you a Mana, V'ni Deyem Me'ezem Lechem, but I don't know from which of you did I do so. Oy, he says to two people, Avishal Echem, one of your fathers, Hifkid limana, left with me a mana, veni edea, and I don't recall Eza, whose father of the two individuals to whom I am speaking was the one that left with me a mana. Noisen lezem mana, so the halacha tells us that he has to give each one of them a mana, shahoidim piatzmai, because he admitted on his own that he owes somebody a mana. The Rosh says that the Mishnah says clearly in a case where he said to each one of them, your father left with me in mana, and that it's not the same where he said, gazati lecha mana. That teach us that there's a difference between the two cases. In the case of gazati lecha mana, he did something wrong, he stole. Here, that's why he has to give each one a mana. But in this case, only because the father had approached him, that's why he owes them a mana. Shnayim shefkidu etzel echad, if two people left money by one person, zem mana, one of them left a mana with this individual, zem asayim, and this person left 200. Zeh oimer, and this one says, shalim asayim, that it was I who left with you a mana, at Masayim. And the other one says, V'zayimah Shalim Masayim. And the other one says, I was the one that left with you the Masayim, the 200. Nois l'zeh mana, l'zeh mana. So the halacha is that he give each one of them a mana. And the third mana, V'shayim munachat shiyav al yo, the third one stays in abeyance because we don't know who is owed what. Amar Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says that doesn't really solve the trick. Amar Rav Yossi, im came my hifsad aramoy. The person who was dishonest had nothing to lose because he's going to get his mana anyway. And therefore, says Rav Yossi, hakol yeh munachat shev al yo, everything is left until al yo comes. The Sefer Arzad Beirav quotes the Panovich Rav. Why does it always say, why over here and in other places in our Masechta does the Gemara use the words Yemunach Achiyov Elio? We call Elio by his name Elio. And often when we have a question in Shas, which the Gemara doesn't have an answer, the Gemara uses the word Teiku, which means Tishbi Yitaritz Kushva Vabayis. Tishbi will answer, Elio, who's called Tishbi, will give us the answers. Why over here is he called Elio, and over there is called Tishbi? So the Panovich Rav answers that Elio is known by the name Elio when he is viewed as a malach. So in a situation where we don't know what to do, so when it's a question in halacha, we have to use the word Tishbi. We can't use the word Elio because there's a rule that loy b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in Shemayim. The Torah was given in this world. And since the Torah is given in this world, we can't have a malach, Elio, presenting himself as a malach, giving the answer. But here, when we're trying to get the clarity, who left what, here Elio can appear as a malach. And since here Elio can appear as a malach, that's why here the Gemara uses the word, here Gemara uses the name of the name of Eliyahu. So the Mefarshim discussed this halacha. So he asks why the Ramban asks a very fundamental question. In this case that we just learned, the person who's holding on to whatever he's holding on to is admitting that each one of them has a right to collect from him a mana. So since he's admitting that each one of them has a right to collect from him a mana, and the entire discussion is on the second mana. So why is this not considered, asked the Ramban, a case of a Moedah B'Mitzvah, which we've learned so many times that a Moedah B'Mitzvah, if he can't, has to swear, and if he can't swear, he's going to have to pay. So why is the halacha that he doesn't have to pay, given that he can't swear? So the Ramban says that this is not considered a case of Moedah B'Mitzvah. Because if we look at the claims of both of these people, their total claim is that he is holding on to 300. And that claim is actually something that he's admitting to. He's admitting that he's holding on to $300 of theirs. The only question is how to divide that $300. And since he's admitting to what they're saying, that's why it's not considered a case of Moedah B'Mitzvah. I saw that the Neshivas explains the Ramban's teretz in a beautiful, beautiful way. We've learned many times in our shiurim, what does the Torah say that somebody who's a Moedah B'Mitzvah has to swear? And as we often quote the Gemara, as the Gemara often says, if anything, wouldn't it make more sense that somebody who's koifer akol, somebody who denies, should have to swear? And yet the person who's a Moedah B'Mitzvah is the person who the Torah has to say has to swear. So the reason the Gemara says is because a person really doesn't have the temerity. The person does not have the temerity to say to somebody who lent the money, I don't owe you any money. But that's a svara that could be said with somebody lent me money and now he's coming to pay and now I don't have the ability to pay. So I come up with a stalling tactic, as the Gemara often explains. And my stalling tactic is by being a Moedah B'Mitzvah. In the case where I'm watching something, then it's not that it's a question that I have the ha'ozah to say I do owe you, or ha'ozah I don't have to say to owe you. And therefore, it's a very different situation. It's not the same as a Moedah B'Mitzvah. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, that according to the Tanakami, each one of these people get a mana. There's a machloikus rishonim where it should be munach. The Mordechai, quoting the Azrua, says it should stay in Bezdin. Because if it stays with this person, then the person is a person who's saying any idea. This person who's saying I don't know is certainly not in such a great place, as we're going to explain more in the Gemara. What do you mean, any idea? You don't know. And therefore, it should be left by Bezdin. The Rambam's opinion is that he was the person that with which the item was left for safeguarding, and therefore, it should stay with him until we get to the bottom of it. The Rabbi Yossi said that nobody gets anything, because as we learned, mahifsad aramoy, otherwise, what will the person who said something dishonest lose by saying this? And says Tosfos that this is not just relevant to the people who are here, the two people who had left something for safekeeping by this person, but says Tosfos that even the children of this individual, the same halacha will apply to them. We want to get that, according to Rabbi Yossi, we want to get to the truth. And the only way we're going to get to the truth is by not giving them anything, not the parents, not the children. So of course the question that many Rishonim ask, and we go back to the first Mishnah of our Masechta. In the first Mishnah of our Masechta, we spoke about the halacha of the two people, Shnayim Oichs and Batalis, two people are holding a talis, and both of them claim that the talis belongs to them. And the Mishnah said, Yachloiku, why don't we say the same here? That when we have this dispute, certainly at least according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, why don't we say Yachloiku? So Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yossi, who's concerned about this Ramoi, Rabbi Yossi is concerned about this individual who's saying something which is not true, that concern, by doing Yachloiku, we haven't satisfied Rabbi Yossi's concern that the dishonest person will be benefiting. And therefore, Yachloiku is not an option. Taisus has a different approach why we don't say Yechleiku. Taisus' approach is, going back to Svara that we discussed quite extensively when we began the Masechta. Taisus says the only time we say Yechleiku is when the saying is possibly true. As we learned when we started the Masechta, when two people are holding the same object, it could technically or theoretically be possible that they both picked it up at the same moment. So since they might have both picked it up at the same moment, and if indeed that's what happened, then they're both equal owners of this object. So saying Yachloiku is something that's within the real realm of possibility that actually is what happened. That's where the halacha says Yachloiku. But in a case where that is not the situation, rather in a case where our Gemara, where one left 100 and one left 200, and it's clear that they didn't both leave the 200, and it's neither left 150, that's why Taisus says Yachloiku is not an option. Continues the Mishnah, V'ken Shnei Kelim, if there were two Kelim, Echad Yofa Mona, one Keli was worth a Mona, V'Echad Yofa Elef Zuz, and one Keli was worth 1,000 Zuz, Zama Yofa Shali, this one says that the more expensive Keli belongs to me, V'Zama Yofa Shali, and the other one says that the more expensive Keli belongs to me, Noisin Asakot Melechemhem, Tanakama's opinion is that we give the smaller one to the one of them, umetoich agodl, and then we take the other one, nice and the make cotton l'sheni. We give the value of the smaller amount to that second person, vashar, and the rest, the balance, yemonach atshiyovay elio. I'm Rabbi Yossi Imkain. Again, Rabbi Yossi says, so if that's what we're going to do, ma hefsid esheramoy elakoy yemonach atshiyovay elio. So Rashi seems to learn that this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion is based on a knas, that we want to punish him for having lied. We don't know who is the liar, but whoever is the liar, we want to punish him. Taisus Masechet Gittin says what we're trying to achieve here is that the person who's lying should admit to the truth, and that's why we leave it by that person. Moreover, the Rishonim say it's not that we necessarily break the bigger keli and like that give a piece, because of that will just devalue the keli, and nobody would gain from doing that. Therefore, the Rishonim say what the Mishnah means to say is that we take the bigger keli and we sell it. We give the amount of money, the amount of money that everybody agreed, this is according to the Tanakhama, to the person who claims that he has the small the amount that everybody agrees to, and the balance is Yemonach Hachiyava Elio. So I saw that Rameh Shapiro Zatzal in his Sefer Imrei Dask asked a question. The first case of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to ask why we need two cases. But the first case, the differences aren't so significant. It's 100 and 100, 100 and 200. But when we speak about a keli, one is worth 100 and one is worth 1,000. Why is there such a greater discrepancy between the two kelim? So Rameh Shapiro said that he had a Talmud in the yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin. He calls him a Friamel. He says that the Gemara we're going to learn, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, teaches us a rule. Adam writes b'kav shaloi, yoytze metisha kavan shel chaveri. A person prefers to have something that belongs to him than something that doesn't belong to him, even though it's worth nine times much. So money, explained Rameh Shapiro, is money. And all money is obviously the same. But by kelim, we're speaking here about a case where there's a dispute, who's the one that left the keli. So says Rameh Shapiro, nobody's going to lie to get a keli that's worth only a little more than his real keli. Everybody is much rather have the keli that belongs really to him. Only when it's such a wide discrepancy, 100 to 1,000, that's when a person is going to lie to get the more expensive keli. But if it isn't such a wide discrepancy, he wouldn't lie. The Chshukei Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He speaks about, we have this dispute here. The Mishnah gave us two examples of this dispute. And the question that the Chshukei Chemed asks is that, can we rely on a polygraph? Can we rely on a truth detector, a lie detector test, to determine who's saying the truth? And of course, this is a question in many areas of halacha. Can we rely on a lie detector test? And Ramea Shapiro says that, and Rav Zilberstein Shlita in his Sefer says that he, following Rav Yosef, said that halachically, a polygraph test is not to be considered 100% verifiable, that we could completely rely on a polygraph test. He says that this concept of a lie detector test is actually not new in our history. He quotes a Yalkut Shmoini that Shlomo HaMelech had some sort of a machine, that with that machine he was able to detect when people came to speak to him, when people came to say testimony, when he was running a din Torah, who was saying the truth and who wasn't. But he says that we can't rely halachically on a polygraph machine. All that a polygraph machine, he says, could accomplish is a shvuas hesis. We've discussed in our shiurim that the concept of a shvuas hesis is that we know that if Eid Echad is insufficient to make me be able to make a financial claim. So if I bring an Eid Echad that says that you owe me money, the halach is you wouldn't have to pay me. But what an Eid Echad can accomplish is that the person towards whom I have a claim would have to make a shvua. And then there's a concept of a shvuas hesis. A shvuas hesis is that I walk in and I have a claim that you owe me money. So of course, as we learned the halachas throughout Shas of a shvuas hesis, it can't be that I should just be able to walk in and make a claim that you owe me money, and because I make that claim without any backup, the halacha should be that the halacha should be that you should have to pay me, you should have to make a shvua, you should have to pay me, because otherwise it would be impossible to live. However, a shvuas hesis means that if Beis Din sees that there may be a basis to my claim, when Beis Din sees that there's a basis to my claim, then the halacha is that my claim could cause that the person who I make a claim against should have to swear. So says the Chshukei Chemed that even though we're learning that the halacha is that a shvuas, that a polygraph claim cannot make me win a din Torah, what it can accomplish is that you should have to make a shvuas hesis. The Mishnah used a number of times the concept of Yehemunach HaTshiyova Eliyahu. And the question, of course, that many Mepharshim ask is that Eliyahu is only one aid. And as we just discussed, one aid doesn't have significant or very significant halachic power. You need two aidim. So what does the one aid accomplish? The Chazal teach us in a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Idyos, Ein Eliyahu bo l'tamei l'tar. Eliyahu is not coming to say what's tamei, what's tar, l'rachik or l'karev, to say who is not really a Jew, who is really a Jew, who is a miyuchas, who's not. L'rachik hamikurovim b'zroya. He's going to tell people who force themselves into Klal Yisrael but don't really belong here that you don't belong here. L'makarev hamiruchokim b'zroya. People who do belong part of Klal Yisrael and have been somehow distant, he will bring them back. So it's difficult, that Mishnah. First, the Mishnah says that Eliyahu will not have the ability, l'rachik ul'karev. And then the next words of that very Mishnah teach us, l'rachik ha'mekurovim b'zroya, ul'karev ha'mekurovim b'zroya. The answer is that the word emes is made up of three letters, aleph, mem, tav. And they're all very distant from each other. Aleph is the first letter of the alabays. Mem is the middle letter of the alabays. Tuf is the last letter of the alabays. Because emes is widespread. It encompasses everything. Whereas the word sheker, shin kufresh, are three letters that are right next to each other. And that's what Chazal say. Ein el yobol rachik el karev. Eliyahu can't say on his own somebody is or isn't. Because as we're learning, ein echad neman. What Eliyahu Hanavi could do is l'rachik, that he could take something that which we thought is not true, and therefore it's like sheker, which the words are, the letters are next to each other, and he could spread them and show us the emes. And the same thing, he could take something which we think is emes and be makarv them and say that they're sheker. And what Eliyahu Hanavi is going to do, therefore explain the Mefarshim, is he's going to bring a spirit of emes, a spirit of honesty to the world. And what Eliyahu Hanavi is going to do with that spirit of honesty is teach us, brings honesty. And therefore, even the people who before Mashiach comes and before Eliyahu comes, before Eliyahu reveals himself, were individuals who were saying things that were unfortunately not true. When Eliyahu Hanavi comes, the Meherah B'Yameinu, what he will do is he will bring that emes to the world. And once he brings emes to the world, everybody will now say the emes and will know what really is the emes and what is, and of course, what is not the emes. And then everything will be clarified, as in the cases of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Alma, when we go to the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if somebody stole from one of two people, but he's not certain from who, so the halacha is he has to give to both of them. Alma, Misfeka, Mafkir Mammon. Here we have a question, and the halacha is that we make this person pay them. V'loya minin, and we don't say, Ukum imana b'cheskas mora, leave the money where it is. Ask the Gemara, Vermini, but the question is, we just learned in our Mishnah, Shnaim Shefkidu Etzel Echad, if two people left something by one person. Zemana, the first person says, I left, one left $100, Zem Asayim, and one left $200. Zem Ashlim Asayim, and each one of them now says, I am the one that left Masayim, Zem Ashlim Asayim, Zem Ashlim Asayim. So we say, Noislan Zem Mona, Zem Mona. Each will get a mona according to the Tanakhama, according to the Rabbanon, Vashar, and the balance, Yemunach HaChiyov Elio. The question is, why? Because I'm Moitzim Chaveir, all of Araya. I don't have to pay unless I'm certainly obligated to pay. So how do we reconcile this Mishnah? Amalei, to which the answer is, Pikadon Agezel Karamis. The first case of the Mishnah is speaking about somebody who stole something. The second case of the Mishnah is speaking about somebody who has watched something. Gezel, the Avodah Surah, by Gezel, where the person did something wrong, he stole. The Avodah Surah, Kansur Rabbanon, that he has to make both of them, pay both of them. However, Pikadon, the Lo Avodah Surah, where he didn't do anything wrong, like Kansur Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, our questions are not yet resolved. V'rami b'kodin ha-b'kodin, v'rami gezel ha-gezel. And the Gemara explains what it meant. B'kodin ha-b'kodin, the Tani Reishu, we learned in the Mishnah, Amma, if he said, Avishal echemem hifkit etzli mana, he says, your father left with me, he says to these two people, your father's left with me money to safeguard, ve'ezu neidehu noisin, but I don't recall who it was. So we see that because he doesn't know, he has to pay each one of them. For many, and yet we learned that the second part of the Mishnah, Shai and Fifkidu, that we have again a situation where both of them left money with me, and since I don't know, the halach is Yemunach Chiyova Elio. Chaim Kanyevsky says that the Gemara says, the Gemara just said there's a difference between Gezel and Pikadon. So he asks that if that's the case, the halacha we know is by Gezel, the halacha is Moide B'Knas is Potter. But now we're learning that the halacha is that we're stricter by Gezel, and yet by Gezel, there's a concept of Moide B'Knas Potter. Why? If Gezel is much more serious, and by Gezel we say Moide B'Knas, and by Bekodim, we don't say that type of a concept. So Reb Chaim Kanyevsky says a beautiful teretz. He says, what is pshat when we say that moed b'knas is potter? He says that the definition of a moed b'knas is potter is because what's the point of paying a knas? The point of a knas is not that the Torah needs your payment. Not that the Torah needs your knas. What Hashem wants is that you should admit that you did something wrong. And therefore, by Gezel, when you admit that you did something wrong, which of course is the first step towards doing tshuva, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking and expecting of you. Whereas by Pekadin, there's no concept of tshuva. And that's why Pekadin and Gezel are treated in very, very different ways. It says, but here we ask the question, Pekadin or Pekadin, Amar Rava. So Rava says, the Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah, where he doesn't remember who left the Pekadin after him, with him, Nasa, it's a case of Kamisha of Gidol Shnei Kriches. If two people left with me two packages to watch, each one not in the presence of the other. The Havilei Lamedek. So it was my obligation to check to make sure I know what is what. Who's the one that left this and who's the one that left that. Sefer, but the case of the Sefer, Shanasu Kanesha of Kiduloi Bekrach Echad. They gave it to me together. So if they gave it to me together, the Lai Havilei Lamedek. It wasn't my obligation to check. Kigoin, says the Gemara, and the Gemara goes on. Kigoin dafkidut havayu b'hadi adod b'chadzimna. They both left both packages with me in one time. Damluhu, and therefore I, the Shomer, have a right to say to you, ant kufayu lekapti adodi. You weren't careful. You weren't careful. Therefore, if you weren't careful, then I don't have to be more careful than you are. So the Ramban says that what is the reason why if they gave it to me separately and I didn't pay attention, then I'm going to have to pay? So the Ramban says that it's a knas. The Rashba learns that it's not a knas. It's considered pesheya. Every shomer, no matter who the shomer is, has to make sure not to be negligent. And when two people leave with me two separate packages, not checking what is in each package is considered a pshia. So now the Rishonim debate, when is it considered that I have to check and when isn't? He says, so Rashi's opinion is that if the two people who are leaving something with me gave it to me at the same time, so they show that they trust each other. And the fact that they show that they trust each other and that they weren't careful to make sure that the packages were properly marked and given which is which, so I don't have to know either. If they don't care, I don't have care. The Rif and the Rambam says that no, that would be insufficient. The opinion of the Rif and the Rambam is only in a case where they put all of the money in one package, then the halacha is that I don't have to do any more. But if they gave it to me in two separate packages, even though they were both giving it to me at the same time, the halacha is that I do have to check. There's also an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim, is this halacha only by Pekadin, or is this halacha also by Halvah? The Nesivus' opinion is that this halacha is only by Pekadin, and the way we've been explaining it's understandable, because that is part of the responsibility of the Shomer. The responsibility of the Shomer is to make sure what he's being given to watch, he's doing it in the proper fashion. By Halva, that halacha doesn't necessarily apply. There are others that disagree and say that the same halacha that we're learning here by Pekadin would apply by Halva as well. Continues the Gemara. Rami Gezel Gezel. But now we'll ask a question about Gezel. Tani Hacha, we just learned. Amal Shnaim Gezati Lechem Mehem Mana. He says the two people I stole from one of you a mana. Veni De Ezem Mekem, but I don't know which of the two of you I've done this to. Oi, Avish Lechem Mehem Hifkali Mana. one of your two fathers left with me a mana of any day, Eisen Nussen Lazem mana. I don't know who it was. I have to give each one of them a mana. For many, but we learned in the Mishnah Masechti Yevamos, Gozloch Mechamisha, if somebody stole from one of five people. However, Vedi Day is Mem Goz, but he's not certain who is that person from whom he stole. Zaymi Isa Gozel. This one says it was from me. Zem Isa Gozel, it was me. Menir Gazel Beneim. All he needs to do is just leave the money or Mistalik. And that's enough, Divrei Reb Tarfon. So what do we see? The person stole from somebody. He doesn't know from whom. Alma Misfek Elohim Afkinim Emana. There's a suffix where he's from whom he stole. We don't make him pay more. But meaning, all we say is, Oikim Emana V'cheskas Marmin. Mari, just leave the money and let them deal with it. Ask the Gemara, Umay, why is this a question? Ask the Gemara. Mamai, the Masnitzin Hakar of Tarfon, he asked the Gemara, what makes us say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Reb Tarfon? Maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva in that Mishnah says that you have to pay to each one of them. Answers the Gemara, the Tanei Allah Dehi, because in reference to that Mishnah, the Brisa says, the Maida Reb Tarfon Ba'im L'Shnayim, where Reb Tarfon agrees, if somebody says to two people, Gozati Lechem Hem, if I stole from one of you $100, Veina Yedeim Ezim Kem, but I am not certain from whom, the Halacha teaches us nicely, Zemana, Zemana. He has to give each one of them a mana. So we see that that Mishnah, where Reb Tarfon's opinion is quoted, is identical to our Mishnah, where you have to pay to each one. So the question is, that why does in our Mishnah, the halacha, you have to pay to each one, and the Mishnah by five people, you don't have to pay to each one? Answers the Gemara, Hasam, the Katavale. There, it's speaking about a situation where they are asking him for the money. So since they're asking him for the money, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, so the halacha that we always work with, of Maitzi Mechavela or Olav Araya, kicks in, and he doesn't have to pay. Our Mishnah is not talking about that type of situation. Our Mishnah is speaking about Bo Lotzes Dei Shemayim. A person who wants to be Lefnim Meshur Sedin, even though the halacha does not necessarily require that he should pay everybody, but he wants to do what's right. Doing what's right is to pay. It's to pay each one. So the halacha is that even though normally the halacha is Hamotzi V'Chareira Olav Araya, but if somebody wants to be Lotzis L'Dei Shemayim, go L'Fnim Meshur Sadim, he should pay back to anybody he may own. So now the question that the Rishonim discuss is our Gemara, in a few moments ago, differentiated by somebody who gave the when the money was deposited with him to watch, it was given by two people at two different times, or was given at the same time. And the question is, what will be the halacha if the two people gave the money together? What will be the halacha? Will there still be a din, a bar lotzis dei shemayim, that he should give each one of them 200? Or is the halacha that he doesn't have to? So the Tosfos says, why that he doesn't have to? Here is no issue of bar lotzis dei shemayim. And the Mefarshim give a beautiful explanation to Tosfos' opinion. For they explain, in a case where he stole from many people and he doesn't know from whom he stole. So the Baal Lotzis Dei Shemayim means that he wants to do what's right. He wants to make right for what he did wrong. And therefore, he should give each one the money. Whereas, in a case where they gave it to him in such a manner, where the two So it turns out to be a case, to make it a little more understandable, a Bari Veshema. He's not certain whom he owes the money to. Each one of these two people claim that it is he whom he owes the money. Bar Lotzis Dei Shemayim says that he should pay both of them. But when the two people gave the money to him at the same time, and they weren't careful to see who gave what, that can't be considered a case of Bari Veshema. They weren't careful, and if they weren't careful, I don't need to be careful, And therefore, even Balotzes Tei Shemayim, he wouldn't have to pay each one of them. Says the Gemara, Amamar, the Gemara said that when the Reb Tarfon say that if somebody stole from one of five people and he doesn't know from whom he stole, they just puts the money down and walks away, the Ketavale, when they are all claiming that he stole from him, and for, ask the Gemara, and what does the Gazlan say? What does the Gazan say? Rav Yehuda Amarav Halo Shoisik. He's silent. He doesn't know what to say. Rav Masna Amarav Halo Tzaveach. He says that I don't know what you're talking about. And the Gemara explains itself. Mandam Halo Tzaveach. Only in a case where the Gazan says I don't know you. Avil in a case that he's quiet because he doesn't know what to say. And there's Alocha Hashtika Kaida. And since there's a halacha of shtika kaida, he's going to have to pay each one. Mandam alosh shtoisik, even if he's quiet, and even though normally the halacha is shtika kaida, shtika da hocha, in the case that he's quiet when each one of the five people say, it is from me that you stole, and he's not, and this accused Gazlan is not able to respond, here it's we don't say shtika kaida. Amatza amalei, here he could say, my shtika does not represent that I'm admitting to you. All the shtika represents is Dilma Haihu. I don't know. So the Gemara is teaching us there are two types of shtika kaido. There's a shtika kaido which represents an admission, or does shtika kaido represent or shtika kaido is only when it's an admission. If it's not, that's what the second opinion holds. The first opinion says, as long as you're quiet, that halacha means that it's considered shtika kaida. Amamar. So we learned that where five people claim that he stole from them, each one saying it is from me. Rav Tarfon said, "Maniach gzeil b'nei mustalik." And what happens? V'shakli kulav azli. Should they take this money, these five people, and divide it amongst themselves? Ask the Gemara if that's what we're going to say is dalocha. V'amrav Abbrazav da Amrav kol sofik kenua. When we find an aveda, which we spoke about extensively in our previous parak, and in a place where people don't usually frequent, and therefore it's somewhat God, and we don't know what is the status of this aveda, dalocha is lechatchila layitol. The person who found it should not pick it up. And like Rashi says, that's in a case where we don't know what is the status of this. Certainly in a case where we know that it was left there deliberately, the halacha, as we discussed in the previous parak, is just leave it where you found it. V'mnotal, but the halacha is if somebody from that came and takes it and says it's mine, if the person who found it takes it and somebody comes and says it's his, lo yachzer, because we shouldn't give it to him, because maybe he's not really the owner. So we see that in a case where I'm holding on to money, and somebody comes and says that he is the owner of the money, only in a case where I could be certain that he is the owner of the money do I give it to him. But if I can't be certain that he is the owner of the money, I don't give it to him. So here too, do we have these five people arguing from whom I stole? Why is that locha that each one of them should get a share? Since I don't know who's the owner, no one should get it. Amrav Safra. So Rav Safra said, when Rav Tarfon said that we put down the money, it wasn't meant that the money should be put down and that they should divide it amongst themselves. Rather, what he meant to say was, Yemuniach, that means, Yemunach, Rashi says, Yemunach, at Yovel Yo, that till we can have clarity, it's left. Amalei Abayla Rava, Mi Amar Rabbi Kiva. How could we say that Rabbi Kiva's opinion and Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, how do we understand? Rabbi Kiva said, Loizu Aderech, that Rabbi Tarfon said that if five people claim I stole from them and we don't know from whom, I should just put down the money. So Rav Kiva comments, Loizu Aderech Metzios Medeavera. That's not the way that I am doing right. But rather, Rav Kiva said, Shisham gzeila kolchad. I have to pay each one. Since I don't know from whom I stole, I have to pay each one of these people who make a claim. Alma, what is the obvious, what do we learn from here? That is, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, Mesfeka mafkinim amayna, we're going to make me pay each one of these people, and we don't say, V'loy aminin, ukubim mayna, b'cheskes mara. We don't just leave status quo with me until we can know who I really owe the money. For a mini. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta of Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Aleph teaches us the case of Nafal Abayis Alav Avel Imay. The house fell on somebody and his mother, and they both perished. But we don't know who died first, and it's going to be very relevant for Hilchas Yerusha. If the mother died first, then the son, if he was still alive, becomes the Yerush, and after he dies, his Yerushim become the owner of all of these assets that he inherited from his mother. However, if the son died first, so then he never inherited his mother's assets, his mother's other Yarshim inherit those assets. So there's a very big debate. Yarshia ben, the inheritors, the heirs of the son, Imrim Emesri Shina, that it was the mother who perished first. The Yarshia Emrim, the people who are the Yarshim of the mother and not of the father, and not of the son, the case comes out when she had children from different husbands, or she had brothers. Yosh Emrim Haben Meisrishen. It was the son that died, said. The halach is Elu ve'elu moedim. Everybody agrees that these two parties, the Yarshe Aim and the Yarshe Haben Yechloiku, Vamar Rekiva, and Rekiva said that even though I am a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai, this is the Poshup Shat, the way Rashi learns, that even though I am from the Talmud of Beis Shammai, and normally Beis Shammai's opinion is that when we have this kind of uncertainty, the halach is yachloiku, here I say, nechasim b'cheskasim. So we have Rabbi Kiva, who is a proponent of nechasim b'cheskasim. And here he says, when the five people say that I stole from each one of them, I have to pay each one of them. Amalei Hassam, in the case by Yerusha, it's a case of Shema v'Shema. Nobody knows exactly what happened. But in the case of Gazal Echem Chamisha, where all five people say it was from, each one of them says with a certainty that I stole from him, it's a case of Bari. They're saying a Bari and it's a Shemin. And therefore, Kiva says there's a difference in Halacha between a Shema v'Shema versus a Bari v'Shema. Ask the Gemara of Masnitzim D'Hacha, what about our Mishnah? Am L'Shnaim Gazati L'Echem Mechem Mona. He says to two people, I stole from one of you a Mona. The Shema v'Shema who? The Mishnah, Gemara is assuming that our Mishnah is a Shema v'Shema, and yet our Mishnah said that K'tani Noisim L'Zem Mona, and that we don't say by Shema v'Shema that Momen B'cheskosoy. Omamai asked the Gemara, who says that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? And the Rabbi Kiva is saying that in the case of our Mishnah, you have to pay to each one. Maybe the case of our Mishnah, as we mentioned earlier in the shir, is only regarding a person who wants to do lefnim mishuras adin. And that's why, he has to pay each one. But indeed, the letter of the law doesn't say that. Says the Gemara, that can't be. The Tani Alodahi, the Braisa explaining the Mishnah of Yevamis, when somebody gozma chamisha, veni deyemi gozl, moider taf boim l'shneim gzalti lechem mechem mana, when he says to two people, I stole from one of you, veni dey ezem mechem, and the halachi is that since it was I who initiated the admission, says the Gemara, moider taf and you pay to each one. Reb Tarfin says, I agree. To whom is Reb Tarfin agreeing? Reb Kiva Ba'plukti. He's agreeing to Reb Kiva who's been disagreeing with him. So we see that Reb Tarfin obviously heard that Reb Kiva says that you have to pay to each one. And Reb Tarfin's saying that even though that I hold by Dine Odom, you don't have to pay. I do agree, Lotzis Ladei Shemayim, you do have to pray. But isn't that clearly a case with Shema v'Shema, and still Rabbi Kiva says that the Beis Din says you have to pay. So how are we saying that with Shema v'Shema, Rabbi Kiva holds differently? Says the Gemara,
M'may the Shem v'Shema. Who says that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of Shem v'Shema? It could be that each one is saying a tiny spari. Chada says the Gemara. The Gemara says that there are two proofs that our Mishnah is speaking about a Shem v'Shema. Chada de loitani toivin oisai. If it was a bari v'bari, that then why would they, doesn't say that they make the claim. It says, I made the admission. Zayim Reb Chiya brings a brisa to elaborate on our Mishnah. Zayim Yedeya v'zayim Yedeya. So we see that it's a Shema v'Shema. And yet the halacha is that Reb Chiya says you have to pay. Hakum Delei, says the Gemara, Ba'adam L'tzei Shvayim. It's only talking with Fnei Mishur Sadin, but it's still a Shema v'Shema. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi. That if the Pekadim, going back to what we discussed early in the shiur, if the two people had asked me to watch something, if they gave it to me in two packages separately, Havel and Medik, I should have been careful in checking what's in these packages. If somebody left by a shepherd, one left one sheep and one left two sheep, and now they come to pick up the sheep. This one says, I was the one that left two. And this one says, I was the one that left two. So we don't say it was the Roya's responsibility to check. Why in our Mishnah are we saying that it's the Shomer's responsibility to know who gave what? It's not that the Shomer was there when they deposited with him, that he should have paid attention. The way it used to work was that in the morning, the people would drop off their animals with the Roya. And the Roya wasn't there. So we can't have a claim to the Roya, why didn't you watch? We learned further in the Mishnah. The next case, which we said is similar to the first case with the money. And the question, of course, is, why does the Mishnah have to teach us the same machlokes with these two different examples? It's the same point. It says, if we were talking only about the case of Mona Messiah, but he come a Rabbanan, that's where the Rabbanan say that each one should get a Mona. Nobody's going to lose anything because each one of them certainly left at least a Mona with me. Avbahop, but in the case of the Kalim, Bikab Seda the Godel, that the person, the Mishnah, we're learning the Mishnah, simply you have to break the bigger Kalim, that's a loss. Maybe the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yossi. Vietma Bahop, if we only had the case of the Kalim, Baha Kama Rabbi Yossi, that's where Rabbi Yossi says, just leave everything at Shiyav Aliyah. Av Bahach, in the case of the cash, Emen Moidele Rabbanan, Tzricha. Ask the Gemara, why should it make a difference if it's Kalim or money? Didn't Rabbi Yossi say throughout our Mishnah that we want to punish Hefsed Ramoy? So the Gemara, El Tvail Rabbanan, Tzrich. According to Rabbi Yossi, it wasn't necessary to say two cases. And the way to understand the Rabbanan is loizu afsa ketani. That sometimes the Mishnah tells us two halachas. Even if the Mishnah could have only told us one halacha, the Mishnah tells us the simple halacha and then the more chiddush. And therefore, the Mishnah began that not only in the case of the mana, the Rabbanan state their opinion that each one should get the mana and v'shayim munachat shavel yo, but even by the kalim, the Rabbanan say the same opinion.